Friends, the instruction says this. The instruction is real small red print. It's the things that the priests are supposed to do. It's real small print that's in red, number 36, and it says, after the gospel, the homily, even if brief, is not to be omitted. It's the year of mercy, and I wanted to. Let the record show that. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Friends, the central claim of Christianity is Jesus' resurrection. There's no middle ground about it. It either happened or it didn't. And we boldly assert that it did. Through the testimony of the women who had to work really hard with the men, passed down through the generations and the millennia, that Jesus of Nazareth, who had been born, who lived, who taught, who healed, suffered and died and rose from the dead. He is alive. Why are we wasting any amount of time searching for God among the dead when He is alive? Everything rests upon that truth. Everything. Two applications of this truth that I wish to share tonight, in the spirit of rubric 36 and brevity. First, this world is not the end. This world is not the ultimate experience. That we have been made as eternal beings passing through time, so saith the Lord. That this time, gift of God that it is, and very good gift that it is but a moment of eternity for which we've been made. Some here present this evening might really be struggling with some aspect of death. It might be the death of a beloved one. It might be the death of a living relationship that has been severed or ruptured, family or otherwise. It might be the death that you're experiencing through lack of fulfillment, through employment, or through direction, or through meaning in your own life. Why are you looking for the Lord among the dead? He is alive. And all too often, we seek political solutions to these problems that we have when the gospel testimony is crystal clear. The solution is alive. His name is Jesus. And we just have to turn to Him with an open mind and an open heart. Second application of this central defining truth of who it is to be a Christian. No tyranny, however vicious, however violent, can begin to approximate the power of the living God. The fallen, broken, sinful world threw everything it had at God. Everything. All of our sins. And killed Him. And He rose. It's as if our Lord says, that's the best you got, huh? And it was awful. And that's the best you got, huh? Because the power of God is supremely triumphant. There may be some right now who are on the throes of some some great struggles and you're really feeling tyranny. You might feel it physically, something happening with your own body. You might be feeling it emotionally. You might be feeling it spiritually. You've really been trying to grow in the faith, but it just hasn't been happening. You hear other people talking about a relationship with Christ and joy and meaning of living in the heart of His church, but it's just not happening, and it just feels hard. Well, the proclamation of the gospel is that there is no tyranny that can begin to approximate the power of the living God. You know, tonight, let's recommit to the fundamental truth of who a Christian is, that a Christian is one who believes that Jesus of Nazareth suffered and died and has risen. He is alive. And let's set aside looking for Him among the dead. Let's just stop it. And those different aspects of our lives. And let's make our way to the living God and allow Him to give to us His presence and power, which He readily shares, which in just a moment we're going to experience in magnificent and beautiful ways in the administration of some sacraments, reception into the church of many who themselves are saying, yes, He is alive. He has risen. And we are made to be with the risen Lord, to encounter the risen Lord Jesus, to share that experience with those whom we meet and inspire them to come to know what we know to be true.